In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our divine liturgy today, in the way that we are coming together and offering ourselves up to God, there are many particular things that are going into that offering. One of the things is the fact that we are still in the post-feast, the after-feast, the time immediately following the feast of the dormition of the Theotokos. It's the falling asleep of the Mother of Christ, the falling asleep of the Mother of God. We understand her as the temple of our human worship of God. Now here, what we mean by worship is our part in that humanity that we as human beings all share in the Christ that forms within her, this particular person, Mary. This is a worship by physical oneness. Our common humanity is becoming the means of God's incarnation. But that happens by one human being, Mary, the daughter of Joachim and Anna, a daughter of Eve like the rest of us. In other words, it really does happen. Human beings had always been created to lift up the things of the earth in that way that only human beings can bring them together and offer them up to God in praise and thanksgiving to Him. And in the beginning, we lost that ability, that capacity. And with the coming of God into the body of our humanity, the body of a particular woman, that offering up of the physical world that God created, starting with we who are at the same time physical and spiritual, starting with we who are at the center of God's creation, starting with this one woman in particular, at last thanksgiving is given to God in such a way that He enters into the world Himself through her self-offering and thanksgiving. And so we call her the temple, the mother of the church, the first one to offer herself up in this, at the same time, physical and spiritual way. And we who are the new creation, the church, God's building, have no other purpose or meaning in life but to do the same thing, to offer ourselves up to God as the living temple of God. That is the meaning of being human, has been from the beginning and became possible for us to do it again. St. Paul says we are co-workers with God in the building that we are ourselves. And we, human beings, have the ability, the capacity to bring all of creation into that building, just as we, as Orthodox, when we do the Divine Liturgy, we bring physical things of the world into this realm and place of the new creation and offer them up to God, because we are at one with the one who is at the same time fully human, fully God, physical and spiritual, Jesus the Christ, who fulfills our humanity by uniting our humanity to God's divinity. And that's our salvation. He makes it possible for our lives to have the meaning that human lives were always meant to have, to bring things together and offer them up to God in thanksgiving. But the things that we've heard this morning from the gospel and the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, they help us to understand these things in a special way. When we think of St. Peter responding to Christ's call to him out on the water, the first thing that we remember is that Jesus says, "It is I, have no fear." Fear is the enemy. Fear of what? Fear of death. Fear of our vulnerability to the thousand things that can happen to us in the world. And obviously here, the fear of drowning in the waters of the sea. And yet Peter responds, "If it is you, call me." Jesus says, "Come." Peter begins out across the water. And it is only his fear that causes him to sink. Now we could look at this as purely a miracle that Christ performs. But obviously, if it were all a matter of the power of God himself incarnate, there would be no reason for Peter to sink. He would say, "Come," and by his power, Peter would walk across the water. There is something that is required of us. There is something that is required of Peter. He is participating in this act. The physical and the spiritual are one here in what is going on. Jesus says, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" We are not to doubt that we are called to act in cooperation with God's own power, the power of Christ. The power is his, the perfection is his. We want to be perfect on our own little project. We won't get one foot out of the boat, straight to the bottom. The perfection, the power is his, not ours. It is for us either to participate, to share in that power of his in the way that is given to us as created human beings, in cooperation, in synergy, or not. Either we cooperate in this special way that God has made it possible for us to do in the way he has created us, and now coming into the world again restores that possibility by offering himself as a way, a path that we can follow. Our humanity can follow the path of his divine and human humanity, and humanity lifted up to oneness with him. Mary did that first. But all of us are called to do it. All of us are called to act in harmony, in cooperation with Christ. St. Paul says, "You are God's building." We're talking here about a kind of divine architecture. When God builds, how does he build? Well, first of all, he uses human beings to build. He builds us into oneness with himself. We can ask ourselves, well, how are we to do what the Mother of God did in our own lives? How are we to become temples, buildings, places for the indwelling of God? St. Paul is explaining that to us. You are temples of God. That's what we are created to be. Not anything else. Not to build our own little Lego place over here by ourselves without God. But to be temples of God. You are co-workers. Synergia. Co-workers with God. How can we doubt and say, well, synergy is not possible. We're all so completely damned we can't participate. And then we look at the scriptures and we hear St. Paul telling us, you are co-workers with God. We have not lost the capacity to participate in the divine work. It's important for us to remember, though, that it is his work, not our work. We are helping him in his divine work. He's not helping us in our little project on the side of basically trying to be independent of God and then kind of, you know, wanting to go to him and say, you know, see, God, what I've done on my own is this good thing, like little children, you know. We participate in his work. And St. John Chrysostom, he's thinking about the things that St. Paul has said. St. Paul says, some build with silver and gold, and some build with straw and hay. And Chrysostom agrees with Theodoret of Tyre that when St. Paul is talking like this, he is talking about morals, moral life, and our behavior, our actions. In other words, we build by the actions that we do. And the kind of actions that we choose, and the kind of, these days we would call them values, because we think values are things that we have as individuals. You know, we can adopt any set of values that we want. We define ourselves by adopting those values. Well, that's true in a sense, except that when it comes to the real values, the permanent and eternal values of goodness and wisdom and truth and beauty and all of the things that are great and noble and perfect and pure, they are all part of God. And we have them by participating and sharing in divine life. And it is through Christ that we can participate and share in those divine things. So the values that we choose, the value basically of life or death. And if we are building with the things of life, if we are building with the things that are pure and noble and good and true and beautiful, then we are building with gold and silver and precious stones. And if in our lives we toy with, pay attention to, and give value to things that are low and part of values, if you can even call them that, that mean a turning away from God and all that is good and true and beautiful and noble, if we build our lives out of those things, then we're building out of hay. We're building out of straw. And all of the life that we build will be tested by flame, by fire. And if we've built with gold and silver and precious stones, those things will survive. But if we've built our life out of a confidence in this world and values and things that are important to us that are not divine, but are temporary and worldly and low, then our lives will be burned away and count for nothing. Whatever accomplishments we make, if they are worldly accomplishments and not built into the temple of our life in Christ, those things will be burned away. Chrysostom says that a temple is held together by the cement, the mortar that binds the stones together. And he says that we need to bind ourselves to the foundation of Christ. And all of the things that we build, all of the things that we choose in our lives, and we choose everything. We're constantly making choices. Will it be precious or will it be worthless? Will it be to the glory of God or will it be a secret shame, a fear that will cause us to hide when God calls to us, because we are building out of fear? And if we build out of the best things, the strongest blocks, it's important, Chrysostom says, to know that we need to cement that stone one piece to another. We need not simply to hold on to Christ, as Peter does when he's walking on the water, but in our building of our lives that is our temple to the glory of God, we need to cement ourselves to Christ with no space, he says, no space between us. Because if we leave even a little crack, something will seep in, freezing, splitting the building open, and it will fall. The foundation is Christ.
We can't build any other foundation, but we try. We try to found our life on the things that we trust in and believe in instead of God.
And the way we build on it makes a difference. The things that we choose makes a difference. The things that we hold strongest in our lives make a difference. We come to confession and repudiate those things that are low and vile and less than Christ. In order to make sure that nothing gets built into the building that's going to make it fall. And so Christ has come into the world and made it possible for us to have a life that is an accomplishment that can withstand the fire of all of the pain and difficulty and things that can happen in the world and even the end of our physical lives cannot prevail against that kind of building. If we build with straw and hay, in the end, that will all be burned away. If we truly do have faith in Christ, if we really are united to Him at the foundation of our lives, we will not lose everything. But everything we've done will be as nothing. None of it can survive. There are things that we can do that can survive. We can have lives of great value. Chrysostom says that there are those of us who are involved with great things. And in other lives, there are those of us who are involved in things that are not of great consequence in the world, but they have no less importance in the building of the temple that is our own life. And such a life will shine with a brilliance that comes of the gold and the silver and the precious stones in that life. It's a matter of the consequence, how things turn out in the end. Our life is a struggle. We don't accomplish spiritual lives by simply sticking to a set of principles. We accomplish spiritual lives by struggling to build into our lives the best things and turning aside from anything that will keep our lives from being a holding up of our confidence in Christ and not ourselves. God came into the world to save the world from inside. And each one of us is an example of God praying through us to save the world from within us. St. Paul says elsewhere that we are the living stones of this temple that God is building. That's the church. We come here to do that building. We have bought a property next door. There is a place there for a building. But it's important for us to realize that we start building that building now, long before we go over and lay the first physical stone in that empty area. Because we are that building. The spiritual lives of each one of us, they are the stones that go into that building. Every time we make a choice between the world or the kingdom of God, between trust in Christ as the best in our lives and a fearful hiding in something that is less, we make the same choice that St. Peter did when he walked out on the water. He could trust in Christ and participate and share in the power of God. Or he could fear, realize that he himself had no ability to do this, and we will sink. The life of each one of us is exactly like that. The life of our mission church is exactly like that. And the question is, what will we build with? Will we build with hay and straw and see it all burned away? Or will we actually begin to build a building that is a temple to God, that is built from the inside out, from inside of us outward? And when we build the building itself, from the inside of that place where the divine liturgy is done, outward, so that the building itself becomes the place where the kingdom of God is done by the living stones that are ourselves. If we simply go on and live our lives according to our own best understanding, and don't make the spiritual struggle to unite ourselves closely to Christ without any space between us, then even if we suddenly had the financial ability to build a building next door, it would not be what it ought to have been. The building needs to begin now. The building needs to begin with each one of us. Saint Seraphim says, if we save ourselves, we save thousands around us. If that's not going on here, then we really don't need a building next door. Because the building that we would need next door would be the place to do the divine liturgy in this kind of way, where that is the place that people come together and reveal and witness to the fact that God has made it possible for us to live at one with Him, in cooperation, in synergy, in every aspect of our lives. And if there is even the slightest place where that is not so in our lives, then we purify ourselves of that in confession. But never do we turn to the standards of the world in fear, an understanding of the world that causes St. Peter to sink. And Christ does grab him. He doesn't let him go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.